So we're looking at, as I mentioned, the second last part for the last proverb, still titled, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." The him, of course, is Christ, and the her is the body of Christ. Proverbs 31, verses 17 to 24. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life is something that is being accomplished in the body of Christ through Christ today. And the desire that God has put in Christ's flesh, which is the church, his body, is to approve things excellent and to be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How those desires are achieved is explained for us in many of these last verses of Proverbs and give us great hope in what Christ can and will accomplish within us until the day of Jesus Christ, meaning the blessed and holy first resurrection, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we are striving toward together as the bride of Christ. Clearly, God is telling us to have no confidence in our flesh, which operates under the law for the lawless, but to put our complete confidence in Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, the very faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And verses we're very familiar with. Be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And it's God's good pleasure to do that work in us, because he knows this is for the good of all of humanity, and how blessed we are to be called sons of God, to have that work going on right now. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why are we rejoicing? Because it's been granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, rejoice. Philippians 3, verse 1. In the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. O wretched man that I am, Romans 7, verse 24 and 25, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Revelation 14, verse 11 and 12. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. And that's the ages of the ages, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Of course, to overcome that process and to see that destruction of that man of perdition within us. Verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. Philippians 3:21 explains how this woman who represents the body of Christ can gird her loins with strength and strengthen the. Christ alone is the one who can change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And that's why we read that verse earlier, Romans 7, 25. What is the vile body that God's talking about here? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's Christ doing that within us. But with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, he is the one who girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Philippians 3, verse 21. All things within our heavens, all the powers and principalities. Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Of course, Christ has made us ready. He's worked that within us. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The first mention of the word loins, H4975 in the Bible, is in Genesis 35, verses 10 to 12, where Jacob's name is changed to Israel. This change of name is announced typifies the elect being sealed in Christ in Ephesians 1:13 and becoming the Israel of God, who can now, through Christ, be fruitful and multiply, which is what he says to him. God says to Abraham, this blessing of a new name is tied into the inheritance that is in the saints, to the one seed of Israel, not seeds as of many, but one seed. Many are called, but few are chosen. That one seed, reminding us that many are called, but few are chosen, to be that spiritual seed of Christ who is typified by the patriarch Israel. Galatians 6, verse 15 and 16. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. And here's that section in Genesis where the word loins is used. Genesis 35, verses 10 to 12. God said unto him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. And that verse says that it's God who gives the increase, which is a witness of that. A nation, at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And that again typifies the kings and priests that are coming out of the loins of Christ. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:11, which we know says, all these things happen unto them for and samples, they're tuples or types, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And Galatians 3:16 is the seed. Now, to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Our role today toward each other is to strengthen one another, to strengthen the church's arms, the many joints that supply. Another example of strengthening the arms of Christ's body is found in these verses in Exodus, which again demonstrate how the battle is the Lord's, as each one of us participates in bearing each other's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ, which is made possible by having his love shed abroad in our hearts. John 21, verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. That's the strengthening one another. Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Exodus 17, and that again is the strengthening we're talking about. Exodus 17, verses 11 to 13. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And we read in Acts 15, 10, what does this symbolize? Well, now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And the stone represents Christ. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. This is again the strengthening, too. It's a witness of Christ working in the body of Christ, strengthening, holding up each other's hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, So this beautiful imagery telling us together as the Gideon's army that we are, we will, by God's grace, overcome and endure until the end. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Perception comes from seeing, and seeing is synonymous with believing God, which is what we must be able to do in order to do the work of God in this life. Matthew 13, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Matthew 6, 22, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. John 6, verse 27 and 29, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Her candle goeth not out by night is another way of telling us that the elect will be blessed to be given the extra oil in their lamps, representing the Spirit of God that is given to the bride in the darkest of days, so that we can endure unto the end and scarcely be saved, like it says in 1 Peter 4, verse 18. It is God's free gift of salvation being given to the elect, which is being typified by the merchandise that is made possible by God's Holy Spirit, quickening us, and is likened unto a candle that goes not out by night. 1 Peter 4:18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Matthew 25, verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So that's 10. All 10 trimmed their lamps, telling us that all the Christian world is going to try to be prepared for Christ's return. That's an important point, because we know that, but we tend to forget that. We're looking at our own life and our walk in the Lord, and we're considering that. But God's telling us something. But it is only those who are granted to be the wise who will experience God working in them, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that should, of course, make us think of Romans 11. The mercy that God shows to us first is very, very evident. Matthew 25, verse 4 to 7. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Romans 11, verses 11 and 12. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Why are they stumbling? We just read it, because they didn't have the oil. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Romans 11, verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root thee. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. The spindle and the distaff were tools used for spinning thread from wool or flax. We're told that she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff, which is a reminder that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling as we labor for the meat that does not perish, and is likened unto willingly working with the wool and flax that God is giving us the power through Christ to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, which we know so well. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Like Noah on the ark, he moved with fear to the saving of his household, building the ark, which represents, of course, the body of Christ, the church. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. Proverbs 31, verse 13, and Luke 12, verse 32, to do of his good pleasure. So fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we often mention at this stage, when we talk about Noah, that Noah, Christ said it would be as it was in the days of Noah. Just again to show us the contrast, it's very few as it was in the days of Lot. Christ asks the question, will there be faith found on earth when he returns? And of course there will be, but it will be very little. And that's what represents that flask, that extra oil that God gives because of his mercy toward this little fold. John 6, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, aeonian life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Christ is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's working that in us. God directs all we do, just as the word spindle shows us, and all is through judgment that is now on the house of God, as the word distaff alludes to. Spindle is H3601 from H3787, literally a director. Romans 8:14 says the same who is led by the Spirit is a true Christian. The director is the Holy Spirit. It's John 6:63. It's a spirit that quickens. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, Christ said. That is the spindle or shank of a distaff by which it is twirled or spindled. The root of spindle is H3787, a primitive root, properly to be straight or right, by implication to be acceptable. And then that brought to mind Ephesians 1, verse 6, where it says, we're accepted in the beloved. He's the one doing the work in us. He's the one who's directing the show and giving us the strength to do this work. Distaff, which is H6418, from an unused root meaning to be round, a circuit. That is district, also a spindle as world, hence a crutch, staff, part. This Strong's number for distaff, H6418, is surrounded by Strong's numbers related to the words judge or judgment from H6414 to H6421. All these Strong numbers are related to some variation of the notion of judgment. And to add to that, from the definition we are given for the meaning of distaff, H6418, a circuit and world are also used to denote judgment of some kind. For example, and here are some examples we can look at later, but 1 Samuel 7:16, he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. Job 22:14, thick clouds are covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Of course, that's the heaven is our hearts and minds. Psalms 19, verse 6. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Psalms 19, verse 6. Again, that circuit related to the work that God's doing in our heavens, the judgment. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 6, the wind goeth toward the south and turns about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. And et al. For world, the same thing, world or whirlwind. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, that was all about judgment. Proverbs 10, verse 25. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. And that brings us to verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. This is not a verse about philanthropy, so much as it is a commission to the body of Christ to do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith, who are aware of their spiritual poverty and need for a physician. Matthew 9, verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Reacheth forth, H79, 71, a primitive root to send away. For
Send for.
Oh, to send for or out.
Send out.
To send out. Okay, that's what it is. So it's to send out in a great variety of applications. Also used in the previous verse, she layeth her hands. And that word layeth there is reacheth forth her hands or send out, showing us a witness that it is God who directs all we do. And that's the point, like reaching forth, she layeth her hands. The Lord is working this work within the body. God has called the poor of the world to be rich in faith. And again, being physically poor is not the primary message with this statement either, but rather reminds us that it is those who are granted to be of a poor and contrite spirit that God will use to help the spiritually poor and the spiritually needy. Christ cared for the poor of the world as we should, but he made this statement in Matthew 26, verse 11, to remind us that the most important poverty that needs to be tended to as the body of Christ is a spiritual starvation that we are being blessed to be overcoming through Christ, but not to leave the other undone. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. And that's Matthew 26, verse 11. It makes me think of what he said in Isaiah, which is right here, actually. For behold, the Lord of hosts has taken away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. And then we come to James 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? If we love God, we're keeping his commandments, and that is what makes us spiritually rich, 1 John 5, 2, which we know it says, maybe just read that out. But this we know that we, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Isaiah 66, verse 2, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. So we need to put those verses together to see, well, God has done the choosing of those who are of a poor and contrite heart. He's made us that way. He's brought us to that point. He's enriched our lives and made his strength perfect through our weakness. Psalms 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Matthew 26, verse 11. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And no man can work when Christ is not there. But when Christ is in us, then those works are being accomplished. These are the works that Christ was telling Peter would be accomplished through him while he was spiritually alive in Christ and dead to sin, which he wasn't yet, but he would be once Pentecost came, then that work started. John 21, verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And that word there is philia. It's a philios. It's not the agape love. Christ is asking him, do you philio me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he did. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. First, then we come to 1 John 3, verse 17 and 18. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love? Now that's agape. G26, the love of God in him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that comes back to his commandment, feed my sheep. Be that joint, God willing, we are that joint that supplies. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Although the snowy winter season is a parable for the seasons in our life where we're not as spiritually productive, snow itself is used positively as a symbol of purity in the Bible. So not only does this wise woman realize that those unproductive seasons come and go and are necessary for our spiritual growth, And she is therefore not afraid of the snow for her household. But we, as that wise woman, also understand the symbolism of its purity. We acknowledge that only God can give the increase in our lives, which happens at an appointed time due to his goodness, which is what Romans 2, verse 4 says. And see that this parable continues to show that the elect are blessed to be led under repentance in this age to purify us. Although our sins are like scarlet, the scarlet colored blood of Christ is what covers her household, meaning the body of Christ, the church, and takes them, us, through those spiritually lean times, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Matthew 24, verse 20, but pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Job 9, verse 30, if I wash myself with snow, water, and make my hands never so clean, a positive use. Isaiah 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that wool is interesting. All that ties into earlier Proverbs, and I think the last verses we'll look at. Matthew 27, verse 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. A scarlet robe covers Christ's body, the church, which reminds us that we're part of that process of sanctifying the world, the body of Christ. We're sanctified first, but we're going to be used to cover the world with the mercy of God. We'll be showing that mercy that God's showing to us now, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Colossians 1, verse 24. John 17, verse 16 and 17. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Put on him a scarlet robe, in other words. Thy word is truth. Proverbs 31, verse 22. She maketh her coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. This is the positive use of tapestry and clothing of silk and purple, meaning it represents the righteousness of Christ that is covering the bride of Christ, as opposed to the negative clothing that we wore when we were in Babylon, described in these verses, Proverbs 7, verse 16, and Revelation 18, verse 12. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. And those are all the seductive words that were used in that chapter, talking about our relationship, our fleshly relationship with another Jesus. Revelation 18, verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. Proverbs 31, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Our husband is Christ, and he is known through the church via his judgments that are found at the gate, which represents our hearts and minds that are being judged. Christ sitting among the elders of the land reminds us that the Lord is mindful of God's elect in this day of visitation in which we are being judged. Psalms 8, verse 4, what is a man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Nothing that defiles the temple is to be allowed in, and that is Christ and the body's role in this age, typified by the cherubim and the flaming sword that turns every way to keep the way of the tree of life. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Revelation 21, verse 24, 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So they will enter in, and all by the grace of God. Genesis 3, 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden Cherub and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Of course, is that's the role of the body of Christ. So Proverbs 31 verse 24, she maketh fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. The fine linen is the righteousness of Christ, and this word selleth, H 43:76, tells us what we must do with our lives, which belong unto God. Romans 12, verse 1, and Malachi 3, verse 10. The word selleth is makar, to sell as merchandise a daughter in marriage into slavery, interesting, or figuratively to surrender. And that brings us to the verse, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And of course, it's acceptable because it's found through Christ and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Malachi 3, verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's a lot of added words, but the point is still true. And because he answers us beyond what we can anticipate, God is generous, and of course he wants us to know that. And the parable that comes to mind is where he says, if you know being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father when you ask of his Holy Spirit. So our Father is generous. We need to only ask, and he'll help us in any circumstance. She, or the body of Christ, gives away freely what we have received to the merchant, who represents our fellow laborers in the Lord, and those who have a respect unto the recompense of the reward and want to buy this pearl of great price today. I just read these, but the same point. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And the rich young ruler couldn't do that. And Christ loved him, and that's so important. He loved him, but he knew the Father wasn't dragging him to him. The first use of the word merchant is found in Genesis 23, verse 16. In this chapter of Genesis, Abraham, who typifies Christ, purchases this field so that he can bury his wife Sarah, who's died. This action of Abraham is symbolic of how Christ's life will redeem the whole of humanity with this symbolic price of 400, 4 times 10 times 10, the whole of all flesh, for representing the whole of humanity. Genesis 23, verse 16, and Abraham hearkened unto Ephraim. And Abraham weighed to Ephraim the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver. And we know silver is redemption, current money with the merchant. The first to be buried in the field is Sarah, who represents the body of Christ, the kind of first fruits unto God, who are the first to be redeemed by being dead to sin and alive in Christ, as we are buried into his death, dying daily. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Our existence now is not to traffic with the world, to build bigger barns, but rather to buy this field in the world, where the pearl of great price resides, Jesus Christ, who is the vine within the vineyard, where we are to occupy or abide until he appears. Matthew 6, verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Luke 12, verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I don't even know. I never even noticed that this is both talking about barns. So there's a great contrast there. One is tearing down, building bigger, establishing ourselves in the earth, which God doesn't want us to do. And the other is saying, rely on God and he will bring you peace and provide for everything you need. We are to apply the zealous and wise heart that people have toward money, toward our relationship with Christ, similar to how we are to spiritually train and run like Olympic athletes. But not for a crown that perishes, but rather for the crown of life. These examples demonstrate for us how we are connected to this worldly merchant in verse 24. Luke 16, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, understand its use. Be merciful toward everyone, because even if you never see them again in this life, none of our words will not return void. God will use every circumstance in our life. Our three measures of meal is partly what's being said here as well, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Well, the everlasting habitations are us. When they come, the world will come to realize that this temple that we are is for them. It's for them as well. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 to 27. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as the one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul's not saying here that, oh, I have to do this. He's recognizing that he's not shadow boxing anymore. He's not in the shadows. The reality is Christ is working in him both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's what he's telling us. That's how he's keeping it under his body. He's not taking credit for it. But he's recognizing that these are the fruits of my life that should be demonstrated. Revelation 3, 11 and 12. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And that's the word merchant there, Canaanite, or inhabitant of Canaan, by implication, a peddler. The Canaanites standing for their neighbors, the Ishmaelites, who conducted mercantile caravans, a trafficker, a merchant. Our former conversation described in Ezekiel explains the negative use of girdles upon their loins, the strength that is in Babylon, the smooth things that we read there in Revelation, all of those thion wood and et cetera, that just represent the sensual relationship that we had in an earthly relationship, devilish, while we're in Babylon. The strength that is in Babylon, the smooth things that initially seduce us and bring us into spiritual captivity. This is a whole, I think, or a whole about Ezekiel 23, verse 12 to 15. She doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, and that they took both one way, and that she increased her whoredoms. For when she saw men portrayed upon the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion, girded with girdles upon their loins, exceeding in dyed attire upon their heads, all of them princes to look to, So the point is, it's talking about the strength of Babylon, and it is a strength. We can't resist it. We go into Babylon after the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea, the land of their nativity. Nevertheless, now, Lord willing, we are witnesses to this world of what we have received freely and are giving away freely, that being the truth that we are girded with. This is what we are delivering unto the merchant, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. And then the word girdles there, and we could have did a lot more on this word, like the girdle. We think of Christ, we think of Aaron, but the word is belt for the waist, apron, armor, gird. And then if we notice here, the root of girdles, H22 96. A primitive root to gird as a belt, armor, be able to put on, be afraid, appointed, gird, restrain. And so next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the last few verses, 25 to 31, that again show us how, by God's grace, we will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Thank you all for coming out.